This morning, as we get ready to get into God's Word, God kind of, I don't know, I feel guilty sometimes because I think sometimes not just you but me, we compact our ministry into this building. And that's not the way it should be. And God really laid on my heart this week this message. And I know I say this, I've said this for the last year, that any time that I've preached, it seems like I needed this worse than any single person sitting in these pews. And this is where we need to be this morning, I feel, 100%. And so, as we look at this, we're going to be in Luke chapter 3, so if you want to go ahead and turn there. But basically, as we get into this, I want us to understand, going into this message, that this message is not aimed at anybody, but it's aimed at everybody. And in saying that, it's the idea that too many times we think that the person that has the ministry is a person that has been called into a ministry behind the pulpit or in a Sunday school class or something like that. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. Because each of us that are Christians are supposed to be drawing people closer to God. And so as we look in Luke chapter 3, we're going to look at John the Baptist and his ministry in the wilderness, but yet his ministry just overall. And as we share this message, I want to share his ministry, but I want to share his message as well, and pray that we would take both of those, his ministry and his message, into our daily life. So if you'd read along with me, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Etruria, and Trachonitis, but during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the regions around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made become straight. And the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Even every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him that has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. The tax collectors also came to him to be baptized and said, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, but be content with your wages. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water. But he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in hand to clear this threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn, but the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I am so unworthy to stand here and to read it. But Father, we just pray that your Spirit would open it up. Lord, in the things that you have to say to us, Lord, I pray that we would hear. I pray that you would touch our hearts in a way that only you can. Lord, help us to get what it is you have to change us, that we might honor you more. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to move in a mighty way. You are so welcome and invited here today. In your name we pray. Amen. I love Luke because of the fact that as a physician, he was so technical in the things he did and the way he wrote. Because those first two or three verses that I had trouble reading with the names of the places and things, a lot of people would say, well, what's the point of saying that? But what he did by saying that, he's saying, this actually happened. This took place at a time when these people were in charge. And so you can go back in your history books and you can find out exactly when the reign of Tiberius was and when this took place. And in that 15th year was basically A.D. 26. So we can trace that back and say in A.D. 26, Jesus was baptized. That's when this stuff took place. And so as we begin to look at this ministry of John, Luke makes it pretty simple that we can tell exactly when it was. He tells us who was in charge, so we know when it took place. Do you wonder what religion was really like in those days? Sometimes I do, because we know that as things were going on and as Jesus was beginning to teach, we know that they had come from the Mosaic Law and they're going into, now they're hearing about Jesus and the people are coming out of the area. But basically, Rome is kind of in charge of the Jewish religion at this time, and it tells us that because it says that there were two high priests. There should only have been one high priest at a time. But here it says there's Annas and Caiaphas were both the high priests. And so Annas was the one that was basically not controlled by the government, but he was backing the government. And Caiaphas, he was the one that was out front for the public people. And so Rome was keeping connection, keeping a little control over the Jewish religion at the time. So we know the time. We know what religion was like. And then it introduces this guy, John, who's the son of Zechariah. Well, being a son of Zechariah, who was a high priest, he should have become a high priest. But he took and he renounced that because religion was so bad. It was just religion. It wasn't about God anymore. It was about people. And that would be another whole sermon, but that just come through there. But he renounced his priesthood, and he goes out into the wilderness and in the area and the region around the Jordan, and he's proclaiming this message that it tells us. But he is the man that goes out and does this. Well, what was this man's job? It tells us right there in that verse. It said he's the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Isaiah told us about it. He's preparing the way for the Messiah. Think about that just a minute. I don't know what your job is, but if your job was you're going to prepare the way for the Messiah. That's your responsibility. I'm going to pick somebody out of this room, and that's your job to prepare for the Messiah. Make straight the paths for the Messiah. And his message is really simple. He proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That was his message. And a lot of times we want to think, okay, this was Old Testament. This was this Old Testament guy, you know, wearing the camel skins and eating locusts and honey, and he steps out of the Old Testament into the New Testament. And that's just kind of out of place. Because they didn't want that message. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. And he came preaching a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That was his message. It tells us a little bit about the people that he was talking to. He said that the crowds were there, and I remember reading something at one point said, if you ever begin to start a sermon, we recommend you don't do it the way John the Baptist did, by coming to the congregation saying, you brood of vipers, because you probably won't be preaching the next week. But this guy was bold. He was coming up and he was calling it like it was. But in saying that, it was kind of more of a Like if you light a fire in a brush pile, anything that's in there, snakes or anything else, is going to take off. Well, that's what things were happening back, and religion was going bad, and so they are leaving, and we're trying to find some place safe to go. And we hear about this guy, John, that's out there preaching about the Messiah coming, and we're gonna leave where we're at because it's kind of dangerous, and we're going to go follow him. But it tells us a little bit about those people. It says, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Man, we've got to find something. We know there's something better out there. They're curious. Maybe this is it. I want to go find something that's better than I've got, and I know there's got to be something out there. And so they're kind of curious to avoid where they're at, but try to find that thing that's out there. And then it goes on, it says, and he tells them, he says, don't even begin to say to yourselves, we are Abraham. We have Abraham as our father. He's saying, you think your religion is based on Abraham. Your faith is based on Abraham. You are so presumptuous that your lineage is going to do you good that you have no faith yourself. You are at a point where you are just believing that I'm religious enough, that it was in my family, that I'm okay. My grandma, my grandpa were religious enough, so I'm okay. Man, I go back all the way to Abraham, I'm okay. He says, don't even begin to think that way. And then in 9, he tells us there's some people there that are just really kind of complacent. Even now, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down. Man, there are a lot of trees there, and that's an analogy they would use. If it's not producing fruit, they cut it down. He's saying there are people here in this crowd that are just, you really don't care. You just are kind of here, and there's nothing that you really have. Well, what we talked about so far tells us of the things that were going on, the time, the place, the job that John had. But this morning, I want to look at his ministry, his message, and his warning. Now, you're going to say, oh, here he's going to start preaching at me. No, I'm not going to preach at you. I'm just going to say what the Bible says, and then you take it where you want. That's my job. Okay? But as we look at this, we got his ministry, his message, and his warning. And you can look at this two different ways. If I've got one person sitting here, and I'm sharing this message with them, and I'm wanting them to understand Jesus Christ, as to accept him as their personal Savior, that he was the Messiah, that he was that person that's came to die on the cross to save the world from their sins. And then I've got this other person over here that's a Christian, and they are sitting there and they're saying, well, I've already done that. But you have the same ministry that John had. You have the same message that John had, and you have the same warning to give that John had. And so this message is going to fit everybody in here in some way, shape, or form. So as we look at this, let's look first at his ministry. His sole purpose was to point to the Messiah. I mean, make straight the path. Your job is to go out, like I said before, and prepare the way for the Messiah. The Messiah was coming. People knew that. They had heard it all their lives in the Old Testament writings and the prophecies that the Messiah was coming. But he says you need to understand that it's coming now. And one of the biggest things that jumped out to me this week, and I know I preach from behind a pulpit every week, but the thing that jumped out to me this week is this ministry wasn't from a pulpit. This ministry was out in the wilderness where it's tough. It's on the football field. It's in the locker room. It's in the office. It's in the courthouse. It's in the school. It's in the wilderness where it's rough. It wasn't behind the pulpit. It wasn't only not behind the pulpit. It was to whoever would come. And there are so many times that I want to pray up and go look for one person. And if I can pray up and go look for that one person, I kind of have in my mind what I'm going to say to them and kind of my response to what they're going to say. He did not know who was coming. He was ready to talk to whoever would come. Well, you mean I've got to talk to anybody that walks up to me about Christ? That's the ministry he had. And it wasn't about himself. It wasn't about, I had a person come up to me and said, oh, you had so and so many people at church last week. That's because I didn't preach. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And that's what he did. He said specifically, there's one coming that's greater than I. That's who I'm talking about. I want you to understand this is not about me. I'm here to preach about repentance for the forgiveness of sins, but it's pointing to this other person, this Messiah. And so when you go out and you take the same ministry that John the Baptist had, and that ministry is Christ-centered, focused on Him, revolving around Him, and bringing honor and glory to only Him in your wilderness. That's your responsibility if you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian and you look at it this way, is that when John came, he talked about the Messiah coming, one who would be more mightier than him, one that is coming that's going to change the world. If you don't have that person in your life, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, He's talking to you. Because even though Jesus came as the Messiah, then He's coming again. And we don't want to miss that. So His ministry was Christ-centered. And every one of us have that same ministry if you've accepted Christ. In your wilderness, you have the ministry that has to glorify Christ alone and not ourselves. Well, after we focus or take our focus off of the ministry, let's look at the message. It was a message for those people that, like we talked about, were curious, presumptuous, and complacent. Well, we surely don't have any people like that we live with today that are just looking for something out there. There is something out there I know. I'm not sure what it is, but I want to find out. Man, it would be great if everybody out there was that curious person that if you just went up and you talked to them and said, hey, it's about Jesus. Oh, man, that's what I want. It would be great if they were all curious and would just accept Jesus. But our problem is you mix in those presumptuous people that, well, I go to church. I'm good enough. I know Jesus. I know all about Jesus. I've studied Jesus my whole life. I can quote the whole Bible backwards. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it doesn't matter. So don't presume just because your family was religious or because you're in church four times a week that you've got it sealed. Because it's about a relationship with Jesus. And that's what John's message was about. But look at his message. It's a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. To repent basically means that I'm going to turn away from something to something. And we talk about this quite a bit. And unfortunately, a lot of churches say you just need to turn to God. And you do. Don't get me wrong. Because they will take the passage that says, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And don't get mad at me here. Understand exactly what I'm saying. That is true, but that is not the whole truth. Okay? That passage is out of Acts when they're talking to the jailer and they say, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your family, and you'll be saved. That's true. But what else did he tell him during that time frame? Because I looked up 12 different verses yesterday and I finally quit about repentance. It says, godly grief produces repentance, which leads to salvation. Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repent that your sins may be blotted out. He commands all people to repent. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the gospel. Angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents. Repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. He's not wanting any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. He calls all sinners to repentance. Today, churches and pastors want to preach that it's not about repentance. It's about just believing in God. It's just about accepting what He did, and that's true. But if you don't repent, if I don't turn away from my sins, then I'm wrong. We have to have both. Because in true believing in God, you're going to believe what Jesus Christ did, and you're going to believe that He died on that cross for your sins, and you're going to see the evilness of your sin, and you're not going to want to have anything to do with it. And you're going to have to turn away from it. You can't stick them in your back pocket and keep them with you. We don't know exactly what John said. But this week as I'm reading this, when they kept saying, the crowd said, and the tax collectors and the soldiers, they kept saying, "What shall we do?" To the crowd, He said, you need to share what you have, whether it's a coat or whether it's food, you need to share. But what did He say to the tax collectors and the soldiers? Stop doing this. Stop doing that. So two out of the three times, He's saying, you need to stop doing the bad things you're doing. Yes, we need to do the good things, but I can't think in my mind that if I do four good things, that nullifies the two bad things and I can just keep doing them because I'm two to the positive. It doesn't work that way. And so what we have to understand is that repentance is a part of my fruit, that when I see what God has done for me and I give my heart to Him, I want to turn away from that garbage that nailed Him to the cross. But too many people don't want to give it up. It's a harmless gray sin area in their minds, and that's not what it says in my Bible. So we've talked about His ministry, we've talked about His message, and then let's look at His warning. And you're going, oh, here we go. But basically, look at what He says. He says, there's one coming that's mightier than I. He says that the Messiah is coming, and He did. But I got to thinking this week as I'm looking at this. He did not know when the Messiah was going to be proclaimed. He did not know how much longer that was going to be. He didn't say, well, I'm going to wait till I know it's within the next year. And then I will start. Then I'll go out in the wilderness and I'll proclaim to people. And then He'll be here within a year and they will know that I was right. It's not about that they knew He was right. Sometimes people have in their mind that, well, it's going to be a while off before Christ returns, so I'm just going to live okay, or I'm going to live good until then, and then I will start really doing what I'm supposed to do. Reaching out to people, telling them about Christ, telling them that they need to turn from their sins and make Christ the Lord of their life. But John started preaching when he was told, when he knew he was supposed to do it, when he separated from that priesthood in the synagogue that wasn't doing right, and he got himself right with God, and he went out and he began to proclaim that the Messiah is coming. And he didn't say a day, he didn't say a year, he just said He's coming. And for you and I, we need to understand that we know that Christ is coming, the Bible tells us, and we can't wait. We can't wait to go tell people when it gets closer. We need to make sure that that's what we're doing. And so that was part of his warning. His other part of his warning is really simple. It says his winnowing fork is in his hand. And they would use that too when they would put the wheat in on the floor and they would have it trampled. And then they would take this kind of like a big fan or a fork, and they would wave it back and forth and it would blow the chaff away. and then they would collect the wheat. So they would keep what was good, and then they would get rid of everything that was bad. They'd put it up in a pile, and there was no use for that chaff. And so they'd throw it in a fire and burn it. So he's saying that he's coming. He's coming to gather the good. And he's coming to get rid of the bad. It's reward and judgment. It's reward and judgment. So as we look at these three things John did here with his ministry and his message and his warning, I go back to that "you brood of vipers" comment. Didn't want to start with it because, like I said, I told you why. You don't want to start with that term. But, and I'm not aiming this at you guys, but think about how brave he had to have been, how bold he had to have been just to claim this to the people. Man, these people were coming to his congregation by the river, wherever he was at, and they were wanting to be baptized, and they really didn't even know what for. But they're coming to listen, and he is so bold as to say, "You brood of vipers." Well, man, I don't have to take this. I'm going back to town. At least Caiaphas didn't call me a brood of vipers. But it was so important that he get the message across, that the message was so plain, that he was so bold in the face of opposition. The Pharisees that were there, they were going to be against him 100%, but he was bold in the face of opposition. We need to make sure that we are bold. Have you ever went up and talked to somebody and you ask them a question and they say something like, "Well, I believe it's," and they go on to answer your question. How confident are you? If somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, I think this could happen," or "I think that could happen," how much faith do you put in what they're saying? But if they come to you or they answer you, it's going to be like this. "This is what's coming," or "This is what to expect," or "This is how you answer." It's the same thing when we talk to people about Jesus. We need to answer. We need to talk with boldness, showing them that it's something we believe in. Because too many times, we just don't want to offend anybody. Well, if they're offended by this, then I'm not offending them. If they're offended by this, then you're not offending them. But if they're believing anything other than this, then whether they're offended or not, they're in trouble. This is one of those messages, like I said, that can go for a Christian or a non-Christian. There may be people out here that are curious. There may be people listening on Facebook that you're curious. There may be some out here that are presumptuous. There's some at least watching that are complacent. But I want us to understand today as Christians that when you walk out of this place, not just now, but you've always had it, but you have the same ministry that John the Baptist had. And it's got to be Christ-centered. It's got to be 100% of the time. It's got to be in your wilderness. It's got to be to whoever comes. Your message has to be the same simple message. It's about Jesus. And it's about turning away from your sin and turning to God. Don't keep that sin in your back pocket. That's the message we have to share. Too many times, I don't want to call somebody or talk to somebody and call them on their sin because I'm going to turn them away. Well, you know, I'd hate to turn somebody away because I told them that what they were doing was going to lead them to hell. And I'm not saying that's how you say it. But if you're more worried about offending them than you are them going to hell, then you've got a problem. That's where we're at. You have that ministry, you have that message, and you also need to understand that you have that same warning to give to people. What if John the Baptist had just said, nope, not sharing this? That's going to offend the Pharisees. Let people figure it out for themselves. I'm not going to tell them that he's coming. I know he's coming. So where are you at? As a Christian, are you in the middle of this Christ-centered ministry? As a non-Christian, do you understand that even though John's talking about the Messiah, Jesus, when he came back as a baby and what he did on the cross, I want you to understand that you've got the same, I've got the same ministry to tell you, and that ministry was all done so that you could have eternal life. That ministry that John pointed to was so that you could understand that Christ died for you. You could understand that it was all about Jesus and his love for you. The message is still the same. Repent, turn to God, and follow him. And he's still coming. I want us all to be ready. Wherever you're at, there's a ministry, there's a message, and there's a warning. And I hope we see these. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for, Lord, what it's all about, the fact that you love us. Lord, forgive me where I fall short of the ministry you've called, of sharing the message that you've called, and of sharing the warning that you called. Forgive me, Father. Watch over us this day. Help us to seek to glorify you. May you be honored. In your name we pray. Amen.